Advent greetings to you and almost Christmas greetings here. I'll say it right now, even though we're a couple days out, but Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and hope you're doing well. I'm proud of you for taking a few minutes to bathe in God's word while you're maybe still doing your last minute Christmas shopping. I don't know. But I pray today that these readings will give you hope and life and set you on the foundation that is Jesus, the true meaning here of Christmas. So this is Thirsty Thursday, and we're going to read John chapter 1, 1 through 14. This will be the gospel that we read actually on Sunday, December 26th in worship as we celebrate some lessons and carols, but really focus in on the light of the world. So here's the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to be the children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. The gospel of our Lord. So the Word becomes flesh and lives among us. You see, the first words of this gospel, they say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And those words make it clear that this gospel is not concerned with Jesus' family tree, but with his true identity as the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is being lifted up off the page. All the words that were written, everything that had been articulated about God and faith, Jesus takes on flesh to really show us and live God. Jesus here in this Gospel of John is portrayed as being one with the Father, and he is in absolute control and aware of his purpose. The central claim of this Gospel is that in Jesus, the Word that in the beginning was with God and was God became human. God takes on human flesh. And this claim is firmly established here in the first verses. And then this writer wants us to see that, or to use that lens to read the rest of the gospel. So these themes that you'll see in John of light and darkness, belief and truth, witness and the identity of Jesus, all seen through the lens of Jesus, God becoming human. Jesus is the one who makes God known. In Jesus' words and actions, God is revealed to us. For the Gospel of John, Jesus is not the suffering Messiah, but the very presence of the Divine One, the I Am, the one who has chosen to come into the world. So this is profound work that the writer of this Gospel is doing, much different than the other Gospels. I think as you read into the later portions of this gospel, you'll hear those words that Jesus did many other signs. But those were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That's in chapter 20. Well, the reader is invited into the story to have an encounter with Jesus and to abide in God's word. That's where we feel the unity, the upbuilding, the body of Christ being birthed, born, and held together. The gospel continues to call Jesus' followers to the presence of the word in the world. That's our task. The presence of God's word, the presence of Jesus, the flesh Jesus, the in-person Jesus. And even though he's ascended, we still live that out. We are the essence of that. We are the movement of that. And so the word is flesh. We live in that word. And that's our story for life. So the word here in chapter 1, verse 1, the Greek term for word is logos, which has its Greek roots in Greek thought as the ordering plan of the universe or even of divine wisdom. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The first words of John's gospel recall the first words of Genesis, right? In the beginning. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was with God in the beginning. The Holy Spirit that moved through the waters was the same Spirit in the beginning. These three are all part of the unfolding of God's work in creation. So in contrast to the stories of Jesus' birth in Matthew and Luke, here Jesus' origin is outside of time, space, and history. It was in the very beginning, God's intent to take on human flesh, to be here with us and for us. And then why? Why would God do such a thing? Well, in verse 7 there, it says that he came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. All might believe. This is the first occurrence of this verb to believe that we get in the gospel. Belief for John is always active. It's always a verb. It is something that one does, not just simply what one has. It's not something that's a possession. It's the actual movement. It's what you do. You're living belief. You're participating in belief. You are the belief, in essence, that pours out life, right? Because it's busy, active, and doing. It's not something that's possessed. Getting it right in the mind, deciding this is the way it is, and then checking the box and forever done. No, belief is ongoing. Belief is a movement in and through this light of the world. And then in verse 14, the word becoming flesh and living among us, that God chose to take on human form, that's the central claim of the Gospel of John. The word lived here can be translated in the Greek as tabernacled or dwelt. So the word tabernacled with us, took up residence with us, dwelt with us, lived among us. And then in him, we see grace and truth. So when we get to the story eventually at Easter of Jesus standing before Pilate, what is truth? Jesus says what he heard or knew from the very beginning in the Gospel of John, in his story of where he comes from, that he is that grace and truth, the embodied grace and truth for the world. We see it in him. We don't have to search it out somewhere else. And so what a difference does it make for you? Here we are approaching Christmas again, Christmas 2021. What difference does it make to you and your faith that God chose to become human? I want you to think about that. What difference does it make here that God chose to become human? Good question, huh? Well, here in verse 16, just a little bit further down, we hear from his fullness, we all have received grace upon grace. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who's close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. So this last fall here at Grace, we did a series on Read Jesus, focusing in on the things that Jesus did, said, how he moved, how he lived, what he poured life into. And we said, so we pay attention there because that reveals God. Just like we pay attention to what we're doing as the church, as the body of Christ, because that reveals God. Where does God need more to be revealed? Where does God need more light? Where does God need more love? Where does God need more grace and truth? Because grace and truth come through Jesus. And Jesus, the one who dwells in us, with us, and for us, makes it possible to live that. So how do we Lutherans understand God's grace here in these first few verses of John? Well, that we are saved by grace through no effort of our own. That's central to Lutheran theology. We are saved by grace through no effort of our own. John here is telling us that we receive grace upon grace because of Jesus. This word grace never again appears in the Gospel of John after this. Here at the very beginning, before verse 18, we hear about grace, grace upon grace, grace and truth. But it doesn't again appear in the Gospel of John after this. But the whole of the Gospel shows what grace upon grace looks like because of God's presence in Jesus. You see, the word is not there as in written on the page. The word is Jesus, the living embodiment of God. Grace upon grace is God's presence in Jesus. And Jesus was here to show us that full heart of God. So John the Baptist is pointing to this one again. And we'll get more of John in different ways, but this belief that John had that God would send one. And when he says, I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal, you know, I baptize with water here, but he baptizes with spirit. John is again pointing that the fulfillment of all of these things that we've come to know over time will be evidenced, will be seen, will be recognized in Christ. And so church, we get this text every Christmas, this John 1 text. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And in him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Yes, he is the life and light of all people. And I think here at the end of 21, we need to continue to give ourselves to the uncovering of that kind of story, the real life and love story of God in Christ. So often it gets confused and covered up by so many other things in this world, but here God is, revealing God's self, God's heart to us. And we see it in this Christ child. And as a little bit of light, a little bit of spark emanates from his eyes and his heart and his soul, as he is baptized and named and claimed and commissioned for God to live for God and show the world who God is, as he grows in years and as he calls the disciples, that same call is on all of our lives. 2,000 plus years later, this word of life is with us today. And I hope you feel that, and I hope you know that here this Christmas, because we are children of God. That is God's gift to us this Christmas. And Jesus affirms that and reminds us of that with all that he said, all that he did, all that he taught, and everything he gave himself to. So church, the Word became flesh. Yes, Jesus became flesh. And he's here in 2021 and 2022, each life and each breath called to experience him. May you know that and really, really live. Stay thirsty, my friends. We'll see you in 2022.